All right, let's go. Let's do it. We've spent let's enough do it. Here.
Welcome, everybody, your weekly Trueplex, The Cage with Charles, or is it The Chamber with Charles? Now, full disclosure, and we know wrestling is not fake, Francisco. It is scripted. It is a stage fight, big fight feel. It's a story about men and women being the holy hell of each other, chasing championships, chasing titles, chasing glory, just beating the hell out of people they don't like because they want to make a name for themselves and look at a legacy. Maybe you do a little bit of the finger pointing, going to WrestleMania. That's the shorter bridge of things because I usually would say boys, but Andrew's not here, so it doesn't sound proper. I don't want to call you boy because maybe that sounds a little bit, wrong. But
oh, gosh.
People of the world, we had a pay-per-view this weekend. We had a lot of pay-per-views in the last couple of weeks. I'm kind of like pay-per-view fatigued because I take 3.5 hours of my time to watch these things, or 2.5, depending on who it is. We had Elimination Chamber, and we're going to focus more on that because nothing really going on in the world. Like New Japan, Hiromu Takahashi, he's injured. The Japanese pimp's hurt. I'm very sad. He is your junior heavyweight champion. He was supposed to challenge for the tag team champions with Bushi against El Fantasmo and is it Taichi? Yeah, there's so many sometimes that they go into it. But now that's going to be changed up a little bit. But that's the thing about wrestling. Card subject to change. Nothing else really big that I would go on for New Japan yet. Let's wait till AEW happens. I believe, speaking of New Japan, this weekend should be Jon Moxley versus Kenta for the IGWP or IWGP US Championship. So we're going to see what happens there. You know, there was a cross blend that was going on over in... Did Andrew message us? He goes, how was the start of the show? Well, we'll get to you, Andrew, when you come in. I'll let you jump into the cage like an unsuspected money casher. Ooh, is that a spoiler? Let's see. Some foreshadowing. AEW, Dynamite's happening. I'll probably watch it this weekend. I don't really recall what happened last week. It was just kind of meh in between because, as you know, they're still doing the cross-branding of Impact, AEW, and New Japan, and a little bit of NWA. Not very big on it. Why? Because there's going to be some people that are pushed down. What I will say about AEW from last time we spoke about, the romance between Adam Hangman Page and the Dark Order has been chef's kiss. As you know, he's kind of now in a feud with Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy, the other Hardy brother, Jeff Silver in WWE. Well, he's now Big Money Matt or Money Matt, trying to get all the cash. He's teaming up with Private Party, and he's trying to get Hangman Page to be with him, and it wasn't happening. So the contract that they had, it wasn't for a tag team. It's for him to have a match at Revolution, which I think is a week and a half from now. So that will be the next week, will be the AEW episode that we talk about. But basically, Matt Hardy, they're going to have a money match. Whoever wins gets their financials for that quarter. Really feels like an 80s match, which I like because that's what they used to do. You used to fight for the purse, the whole thing, the $10,000, because you need some incentive and money should always be an incentive. It's what pushes us, right? But Matt Hardy, TH2, part of Private Party, which I think is Isaiah, was beating down Hangman Page, and out came the Dark Order with is that Andrew Facebooking us? No, it's you.
I'm just answering him back.
Going into and having the Dark Order come out and help Hangman Page because, you know, your boy supports you. Anna Jay, we love you, Anna. But she's hurt. She hurt her shoulder. She's 99 because everybody's given a numeric number in the Dark Order. But she's injured. She's going to be out of the women's tournament. They're doing a tournament for contending with Hikaru Shida over in both the U.S. and in Japan. Whoever wins in the women's tournament gets a shot at Hikaru. So we'll see what happens there. Or Hikaru Shida. I can never say it properly. I suck at names sometimes. I suck at my own name, guys. It's part of the business. The slow burn between the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega has taken too damn long. They were getting beat down by Jericho and MJF, and then the Good Brothers took forever to come out and help them. And so, Kenny, the writing is on the wall. This is what I hate about wrestling. I understand that you have some stories to tell. I don't need you to take freaking forever. You can make it more interesting when you have the Young Bucks be like super kicking everybody. But it be how it be, right? And I can't control it. Let's go to WWE because that's really where the bread and butter is. A lot of stuff happened in Elimination Chamber. Holy crap. I don't know if I was right. I don't know if I was wrong. My mind was a little bit blown. It was a B-minus pay-per-view. It could have been a C, but certain things happened. They started with the SmackDown Men's Elimination Chamber match. Remember, whoever won was going to be challenging Roman later that night for the Universal title. They changed it up a little bit, and they had to face Roman immediately afterwards. And this was the match I was looking most forward to. And I gotta tell you, Francisco, I was big disappointed, because for six men in a pod, where you have all those steel chains and the pods, and it called for a recipe of destruction, I would say it was more of a disaster. It was more of a wrestling match. Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, they started out, and they were near the end. So Daniel Bryan chaos. Won the match. Yeah. And mind you, part of it is because you had two chamber matches. The men's Raw match was later that night as the main event, but you still want something. It felt like a wrestling match. It was good. If I had to give a rating a la Meltzer, I would give it 3.5 and nothing higher. But it wasn't really the most compelling. There wasn't any really new feuds that kind of came of it. Baron Corbin was the first eliminated in that one, which was surprising. I wasn't expecting him to be in the finals, but I was still expecting something more to come of it. Jey Uso and Kevin Owens were the only ones that kind of made something of it, because they were talking some smack, because Jey Uso, I believe, was the last one who got out of the pod. And so you have Owens who's in there just staring him down. And the minute that pod opened, he went to go beat up that. I was like, I love it, because you need blood feuds. But it felt more like six men technically wrestling. Everybody looked good, but it felt like it was just a little unexceptional. Cesaro looked great, but it was a false push, as I told everybody. And now he's going to go off the feud with Seth, and whether or not it's going to lead to Mania, I don't know. I think it's going to be Bryan and Seth at Mania, and Cesaro's just going to be in a multi-man Intercontinental title match. Hopefully it's a ladder match at Mania. I would like that. But it didn't necessarily accomplish what we're going for. And Cesaro, if you can hear me right now, I love you. You are one of the best wrestlers out there in the world.
Grades here for it, what people thought I of wasn't, it. You know,
I wasn't in love with that particular match. The pay-per-view, I thought it was a B-. See,
this one, getting over a wrestling podcast, they had a poll here. They had most of their listeners gave it a B, half of them at least. You got some A's, some C's, and some people got the 6%, well, D to F there. I
don't know. We're going to get to that, and it's something involving an A-lister. But I think all the matches were technically sound. The triple threat match was probably the best match of the night. Bobby Lashley, John Morrison, Matt Riddle. So originally it was not supposed to be John Morrison. It was supposed to be Keith Lee, but he was out with injury. This is bad because he's a newer talent on the main roster. He keeps getting injured. Vince ain't going to push you anymore. Charles has big concern. But it was a good last-minute replacement with John Morrison. It was good ebbing and flowing, a good little difference of styles. Bobby Lashley looked very angry. He reminds me of the Vine of the angry black kid when he's just shouting all the time, because Bobby just wants to murder you, and I love it. And I hope he becomes WWE champion and gets his WrestleMania win. We're going to talk about that in a second. Matt Riddle ends up winning the U.S. title. Good on him. It allows him to be where he's at top of the mid-card. It allows Bobby to elevate to the main event, and Morrison had his time in the sun, maybe creates a new feud. The women's tag team wasn't bad. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus whoever the hell they fought, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. We knew that wasn't really going to be much of anything, because Bianca won the Royal Rumble. Sasha is the women's SmackDown champion. It's really just to see how they mesh, but the match was structurally, technically sound. I enjoyed it for what it was. And then we got the men's Elimination Chamber match. Raw, same rules, six people entering to it. Last one wins the WWE Championship. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped something because I didn't even care about that much. I'm sorry. Forgive me. How dare I ruin it? So we talked about the SmackDown match. We said the winner was going to go and face Roman immediately. Daniel Bryan won. He was one of the first guys in. He gets like destroyed by Roman. Roman chokes him out. Bryan's like selling his knee injury. But what? And I wish Andrew was here for it. So what happened at that match? Edge comes out and spears Roman straight up. And he says, I'm getting you at WrestleMania. I am so ready for it. Because the match itself probably might not be good, but the storytelling is going to be chef's kiss. You have two guys who are probably same side or different sides of the same coin. They do the spear as a finisher. That's one thing. But they both never lost the titles, because Edge had to retire as WWE champ. Or World Heavyweight Champion. It was a different title back then because of neck injuries. Roman had to vacate his title because of cancer. So now he got the Universal Championship back, but they weren't awarded it. They had to go and get it to a degree. So you can build on that story. Face of the franchise in the present versus face of the franchise in the past. Head of the table, head of the table. And also you can bring in Christian for Edge and Christian to, and even Kevin Owens to help out Christian, fellow Canadians versus the bloodline. That is the Usos when Jimmy comes back. and Roman Reigns. Big excitement. How dare I forget about it? But it wasn't really a match in my mind. Like, it was literally like 3 minutes where Roman just chokes out Daniel Bryan, because we know we're going to get that eventually. I don't think Roman loses to Edge. I think it's a bad idea to have that happen for sentimentality to kick in, tug at our heartstrings. I think it's better to have Roman get the ultimate heat by killing Edge and how the crowd really hates him. You got to build that storyline. You got to build it like coal into a fire, into the furnace, to have the smoke come out. Men's Elimination Chamber match. Drew McIntyre was defending against Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, Sheamus, everybody else in between that was kind of there. I don't remember, right? The match itself was very good. I liked it. It ended up with AJ and Drew as the last two people there. I thought it was going to be Sheamus and Randy Orton was there, Kofi Kingston. I sent you the can we talk about how funny Kofi is, though, by the way? I would break character.
That was funny. I was like,
look at your thighs. Look at your thighs. You're working out. And what I liked about this chamber match versus the other chamber match.
Yeah, because if he was insulting him, but it's like he's complimenting him, and it's like, oh, my God. It's almost ridiculous.
You've been doing them squats. You got a peach going on there. You slithering. Oh, he's like, God damn, you slithering up in here. But what I enjoyed so much about that Raw chamber match was everybody had history with each other. They all had feuded. Sheamus and Jeff Hardy had feuded a couple months back, and they ended in a barroom brawl because they were attacking Jeff's alcoholism in the past and his drug use. You had AJ and Drew who had wrestled each other at the prior TLC in December, and which Drew retained, and Miz had cashed in, but it wasn't really cash in because he wasn't the one to cash in the briefcase. You had Kofi and Randy who have history. When Kofi was WWE champion, Randy tried to take it from him. Randy took the title off of Drew. It was all good stuff, and they didn't even bring the Fiend in this one. That's why I was shocked. But it came down to AJ and Drew, and I was like, my buddy texted me, he's like, Charles! I'm like, oh my God, is someone not going to win, or someone not named Drew McIntyre going to win? Because I'm excited, because you know I have not been happy with Drew McIntyre as champion. It has been vanilla. I haven't been into it. The quality of challengers has been so poor, so bad. And I don't like the fact that he's held the title twice within a year span, because what does that say about you as a champion to hold it that amount of time? And then the second run that you have is just even worse. You had Russell Goldberg. I'm sorry. That's terrible. But the match ending was great because AJ goes for the phenomenal forearm, which is a springboard flying forearm, and he gets caught with a Claymore kick, and it was beautiful. And I'm like, oh boy, are we going to get something weird happening? Because usually they'll just go straight to the ending, but Drew's going around. He's raising his arm. He's looking like he's going to cry. And I'm like, is Miz going to cash in? Because remember, Miz got the Money in the Bank contract off of Otis from their SummerSlam match, I believe, where Tucker betrayed him, and of course they did nothing with that. Now Otis is a bad guy. We'll talk about that in the next cage, because I want to see how they develop it out, because there's a difference between I'm frustrated and I want to beat somebody up versus full-blown heel turn. We can't call that exactly. But Bobby Lashley, the man who just lost his U.S. title, comes out, beats the hell out of Drew. Mind you, him and Bobby wrestled each other at it wasn't Extreme Rules, but it was the pay-per-view after that. There's just too many. Was it Backlash? I'm not certain. But they had wrestled, and Bobby had lost to Drew. But then Bobby was just so angry, so pissed off, bringing down Drew. And then you heard the Miz music come in, and he successfully cashed in the Money in the Bank contract. And I was just like Stone, very hard, because it was good. You need that switch up. Almost 12 months, Drew held that title. Even if you count the Randy, because when Randy beat him Hell in a Cell, he only had it for about 3 weeks, and then Drew beat him again on a Raw. You have to get new blood in there. And everybody hated Miz winning it, and I loved it because he's a heel. He's supposed to do dastardly things. He was so talking to MVP. Show him talking to MVP about it, about helping him. And I'm like, yes, because you and I both know the Miz is not going to be WWE champion for a year. It's going to be a transitional position, where he's going to be a placeholder for possibly Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley looks like a heavyweight champion. He looks like he will destroy you. And you know what? You need the new blood. You need to give it a chance, because he's been doing some great work for the Hurt Business. I don't know if there's anybody who has had a better year booking than Lashley did. He's been booked better than Drew McIntyre. I think I said about last show. I am loving it. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. And so I'm hoping, and here's the thing, Miz doesn't have to drop it next week. Him and Bobby Lashley are going to go against each other next week because Bobby had a solidified main event win against Braun Strowman, the former Universal Champion, technically, or two Universal Champions if you count Fiend's like 6-day run. But it was good enough for it. So if this lets Bobby have the title, and him versus Drew at Mania is perfectly fine. They have wrestled before. They used to be boys. You can cap it off. But please, for love of God, Vince, do not give me Drew McIntyre winning that belt one more time at Mania, because he never got the chance to defend it in front of a live crowd. Drew is 34 years old. He probably has about 6 years left in his wrestling career before he has to hang him up if he wants to. You can give him the opportunity that you wanted to give him this first run to make him a made guy. But to have a belt three times, the same title, three times within one calendar year, it's sloppy booking. It doesn't make me believe that you're actually a credible challenger, because there's a difference between a guy who holds a title for a bit and is just taken away out of the story for a main event to go to a blood feud or gets injured or has a fake injury. But for a guy who loses, always comes back in, loses, always comes back in, it creates a hot potato situation. And it begs to ask the question, why shouldn't the person who lost the title get another title opportunity again? So it prolongs feuds unnecessarily. Because why isn't Randy Orton has been able to challenge Drew again for the title that he lost, right? Why isn't it that Miz, if he loses in a transitional position against Drew, let's say if that, God forbid, that's the plan, but Miz should be wrestling Bad Bunny. We already know this. I told you about that 3 weeks ago. But just for example's sakes, do automatic rematches. You better do it with the idea that you can solidify a feud and make it worthy. But if you do this kind of little weird opportunity just to give Drew a moment, he's had not one but two moments. It's not our fault as the viewers that we should suffer Drew McIntyre one more time as champion because you don't know how to book him properly. I had no problem with Drew on his first run. He went through Bobby Lashley. He went through Dolph Ziggler. He went through Big Show. Went to Randy, and he beat Randy at SummerSlam. But when he got it the second time, 3 weeks out, he wrestled Roman at Survivor Series in a non-title match because it was champion versus champion, and he lost. Okay. But then who did he have to kind of build with? AJ in a TLC match. That was very good, but Miz had cashed in, so it was to protect both guys when you think about it. And then he got Goldberg. So he's just getting matches now. He's not getting the storyline. And sometimes you have to think of wrestling, what we call a stage fight, Francisco, is you have to think of it as a little bit UFC and a little bit boxing. UFC, to me, is more entertaining building into the story, especially if you're someone like Conor McGregor, if you have a lot of the heavyweights, Daniel Jones, even the old days of, is it Daniel Jones? No, I'm thinking, you don't know, I don't really follow much of UFC for the heavyweight stuff. But what's his name? Daniel Cormier, I'm sorry. Daniel, I'm thinking John Jones, John Bone Jones. So I just merged everybody into one. But then when you're looking into boxing, boxing doesn't have the talkers. Boxing just has, you know, if you talk about good old gold, olden day boxing, it has the fighters, man. When you're Oscar De La Hoya's, Manny Pacquiao's, Fury Leonard's, Mike Tyson's, you know, all these guys that kind of come into it. So you need it to kind of perform properly. But if the feud kind of goes, the matches could be fine, but if the storytelling is trash, no one's going to want to buy your pay-per-view vibes, right? It ain't going to happen. So why don't you wait? Let the main event card kind of figure out who it's going to be. Miz, I'm very happy for him because he was a WWE champion 10 years ago. So this is just another little belt. He's the first two-time Grand Slam champion, meaning he's held all the individual titles multiple times on a straight through. Very big on it. And we know he's going to get Bad Bunny with Damian Priest versus him and John Morrison as a tag team. And that's fine because what's WWE? World Wrestling Entertainment. Sometimes it's the W, sometimes it's the E. And I trust Miz enough to actually put on a good match and put people over, like Bad Bunny. I was very sports entertained a couple of years ago when it was Kurt Angle, who is basically retired, and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. It should be good. But there are people who are crying for Drew to win it. But why not Bobby? Bring up Bobby Lashley. You look at that man. Why can't you believably see him as a WWE main event heavyweight champion? You got to give it to the new blood, because if you rotate it, you're going to have the John Cena situation. Racine's a 16-time champion because you had no one else to do. And if you were a 16-time champion, that means you lost it 16 times, right? That's how I feel about Drew. But I'm excited for the prospect because I woke up, man, and it felt like the day I got out of the bar exam when I woke up Monday, right? When I woke up this Monday, it's the same way I felt about after taking the bar exam. I woke up. This is how Andrew's going to feel tomorrow. This is how I'm going to end up bringing it all together. I saw this light. I heard birds chirping. I heard music. It's like literally I came out of snow freaking white because Drew McIntyre was no longer my champion. And I'll take it for as many days as I can before he gets it. And I hope he does get it again. Where he's not given just great, I don't know if I can say he gave me great matches, but good matches, but no good feuds. Let him get his opportunity. But let Bobby Lashley get his opportunity. Because that man, he's just basically like Broly. He's just so angry that he just wants to kill everybody. And that's all I got for you this week on the cage.